Hey, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, we've gotten together 100 times.
100 times.
It's the 100th time I've invited you over to my house, or you've invited me over to your house.
Yeah.
Labs and eggs, mostly. this time I thought it might just be fun to just sit down and play a Nintendo game.
Oh, cool. Are we going to do some kind of like redemption here? Or is this going to be the turning of a new leaf? Like, what do you got?
The old saying, quantity over quality, that old wisdom chestnut. I've got right here, the mother of shitty games, according to the internet, according to both the sweary Nintendo fan and the diarrhea video game dude.
According to sweary 65.
Yes. Sweary 65, the sequel to Action 52.
Oh, fuck.
And the double prequel to Buffalo 96.
And the triple prequel to Spirit of Speed 97,
yep.
I think. Yep, there we go.
999 Gaiden, Action 52.
Can you repeat that for me?
999 Gaiden.
Okay, cool.
999 Gaiden.
Why does that German person not want to play that game?
999 Gaiden.
Gary, what's your name?
Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Yeah, and this is Abject Suffering, episode 100.
Yeah.
The show where we choose infamously bad games to do for milestone episodes.
Yeah. You know, so if we were smart, and if I remembered that this was an infamously bad game, I would have made this episode 52, but it serves very well for episode 100. Gary, it seems like just 2.5 years ago that we began this endeavor.
It does seem like that, but in fact, it's only been 2 years.
We started in both this and Bonfireside Chat started in January of 2013.
Yeah, yeah. So for this one, we needed to do something. And if we just did a randomization and we ended up with another fucking color of dinosaur debacle, that wasn't going to work for the 100th episode. No offense to Sam Bear. So, and then the other big option we tossed around was E.T.
Yeah.
But that can be for episode 200. this is, you know, episode 100, we decided to do this. And we're doing this one a little bit differently, where this game has 52
games. 52 whole games.
It's a big number. And so we both played the Cheetah Men, which is the flagship Action 52 title. And then we rolled up a random 10 other games for each of us to try.
Yeah. Cheetah Men is the big spotty tent pole.
Yes.
Which sounds like a horrible affliction.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. Spotty. spotty, I think of blood too.
Speckled. Speckled tent pole. Yeah.
Yeah.
So normally, you know, we don't do the whole angry video game nerd kind of shtick of needing to drink to talk about these games or play them, right? But I promised this on Twitter I would make the Estes Flask cocktail on the air. We're live for Patreon backers right now. I have the one version that Patty from the Twin Humanities made. I'm holding it up on camera right now with Sunny D, Gin, and Pims. But I'm going to do the one from Gourmet Gaming, let's go through here and do it. This is Smirnoff Gold, which is a horrible concoction of it's like Smirnoff branded Goldschlager. So in it goes. All right. And then apple juice. I think for color, they want you to do Mott's, but I've got like North Coast organic shit because I'm sophisticated.
Okay.
So let's put that into the shaker. And then I'm going to do, this is Saint Germain elderflower liqueur. So you're going to do a little bit of dash of that. And then Angostura bitters, which, Gary, what bothers me about this?
I can only kind of see it, but sorry, like the web quality is not super great.
I hate having Angostura bitters because the label is too big for the bottle. It's like their thing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So. Oh, I thought that was like a homemade label you made.
No. God. Yeah, it's my homemade bitters.
Yeah. What a weird gimmick. Like, I know, these caps, right? Don't fit. You know?
We're some builders. Our roofs are just really shitty. So I'm going to put these in the cocktail shaker and... this is a shitty cocktail shaker because I bought it for the purpose and I didn't want to spend a lot of money, so I just spilled a whole bunch of stuff all over myself.
We're both having drink disasters.
I know, right?
It's a fucking nightmare.
A $2 decanter from Meijer. Okay. Let's take this and we're going to do a pour. Oh boy. And I'm pouring this all over my keyboard, so let's go back here. Gary, life is hell. And all right, there we go. So let's see.
Now do a taste test. My guess is the second one tastes better, but the first one looks more like an Estes flask.
This is good.
No offense to Patty. Like, I just don't like Sunny D. Like,
yeah. I thought about just doing orange juice because I always have it, and I feel like a monster for buying Sunny D. But just adherence to the idea.
Yeah, I bet you that's good.
Second one is good. It tastes very floral because of the elderflower and the bitters. And here is Patty's.
Tastes like Patty.
Actually, no, the Pimm's in that is really good.
Remind me about Pimm's. What's Pimm's?
It is a gin liqueur from Britain that is gin. Yeah, it is gin based, and it kind of has like a little spice and citrus flavor to it.
Okay.
So yeah, it's good. So I have these. We're good. I did that for the benefit of people watching live. If people are wondering why I have two microphones watching live, it's because I need them to do this. One goes to you guys. One goes to record. So with all that admin out of the way, Gary.
Yeah, I'm not drinking anything. I had some coffee earlier today, but this is like 4 o'clock, which is the equivalent of my 10 a.m. So no drinks for me. I have a couple of shandies upstairs, but
good stuff. So I think that so which number is your first one?
I didn't write down the numbers here in my notes. Okay. I just have the names. I think 8 is the lowest though.
Okay.
That I have.
So here's the crazy thing about Action 52. You know, the fact that it's so reviled, it's not really, surprising based on this. Like, this is in the X-Men camp of I am shocked it was ever released because it is not functional.
Yeah, a lot of it isn't. Right. If we were doing a different kind of podcast, like if we were doing like a gaming history podcast, we could do a really cool episode about the genesis of this game because it's pretty interesting. Like, it's just this lone maniac who's just like, $4 a game. People would be stupid not to pay $200 for this. And I can get like 3 nobodies to record this or make all these games in a month. So this was made in a month, like literally a single month.
Yeah.
It's 3 months. 3 months for 52 games.
The inspiration for this came Vince Perry, this business guy behind Active Enterprises, the publisher for this, came home and saw his kid playing this illegal multi-cart from Taiwan and thought, there's just so much value. It's dense with value.
I have a buddy, and I won't name him because I'm still friends with him, who was like that in high school. Like, he would like choose CDs based on track listing. And like, I remember when we all got into Elvis Costello, his favorite album was like the reissue of Get Happy, because Get Happy has enough bonus tracks to where on the CD it cuts off part of the last song.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And the song's really short, so it's like, 50 songs on this the CD. And that's a good album. But I just remember him being like, that's my favorite one because it has it's just so much.
It's not wasted. You're not paying for extra disc that isn't used.
Yeah, exactly. I hate playing disc. So this guy's like that. And just, I feel bad for the people who made this. Like, they had they got no time to do it. Even the main guy whose like insane idea it was, who ended up like losing who knows how many people, how much money to make this. I still feel kind of bad for him because he just doesn't understand. Like, he was just kind of like, kids love Nintendo games, more Nintendo equal more money, and like didn't have just any kind of understanding at all of what he was getting into.
Yeah.
You know, But so that's a really interesting story, but that's not really what we do. So I think that we should what we should do is kind of ping pong back and forth with our little reviews, and then where they take us, like, we'll do digressions. And then when we get to Cheetah Men, I pray God that you hunted down a PDF and read the comic.
Oh God, no, I didn't.
All right, I will favor you with some snippets from the promotional comic for Cheetah Men, because it's pretty special. And then we'll do some Q&A.
Okay.
That we, you know, what questions have already come in. Mm-hmm. Does that sound good?
That sounds agreeable to me. You know, for anybody who's listening after the fact, we are recording live for our Patreon backers. Anybody who's watching this, go and use the question and answer dingus, and we'll get to those at the end.
Yeah. And this will be a longer episode of Abject Suffering, of course. A special one. Cole, you go first. What is the first game that you rolled up?
Number three, Illuminator, which when I saw that I had this, I just fired up ZZ Top's Illuminator and played that. It's a good album, right? Yeah.
So Cole, it's a great album.
Yeah, well, it's not my favorite ZZ Top, but no, Illuminator,
That's faint praise. That's really damning. Like, this album is not among my favorite ZZ Top.
You know, it's I went through a classic rock phase, Gary.
There's nothing wrong with ZZ Top, but it's like saying there's nothing wrong. Like, they're just an elemental thing that is.
Yeah. You know? They're a force of nature, right?
Like, there's nothing wrong with bricks, or there's nothing wrong with, like, you know, rulers. Like, yeah, no, there's not. Like,
bricks. Kind of neutral in bricks. Mortar, though. Yeah. Fuck mortar.
Fuck a mortar. One does not simply mock mortar.
My firstborn son was buried alive in mortar. But no, okay, so Illuminator, you are playing this. So this is a, like, one-screen platformer, like a lot of the games are. We're going to see a lot of very consistent themes here. But it has kind of a neat twist to it. You are a dude, and there are all these vampires walking about. And there's a brief moment of light where you can see everything, but then everything goes dark, and you can only see the vampires by their shadows against the black background. And the lights only come on when you destroy one of the vampires. However, there is no win state, so all you have to do, your reward is just how long can you keep the lights on, and boy, is it cool to look at colors and not just at a pure black screen.
There not being a win state is a really common problem for these games.
Yep.
Like, for some reason. Like, it's one of the first things you implement in a game, usually. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these don't. It's like 52 tech demos for old technology.
Yeah.
It'd be like if I came to your house with, like, a big backpack and I was like, this is a lever, this is a winch, this is a pulley, you know, and, like, check it out. Tech demos, you know, I don't have anything I'm doing with them, but this sure does make lifting things easier.
Yeah, this is a big box of conceits to no end.
Yeah.
Like, that's all there is. And so, and you know, so, okay, so tech demo, when you say old technology, like, this game came out in 1991, and there was a version that came out for Sega Genesis, which came out even later, but had very similar games. Like, there's stuff in here that, like, makes Balloon Fight look like Ultima 4.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, it's really, really primitive. Well, like, one of the things when I was reading up on the story of the guys who made this, too, The way that he got money from investors was showing a Tetris clone that they made on, like, a way more powerful home PC. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of implied the investors didn't realize that wasn't what they were getting. Like, they thought they were going to get game, like, that looked like some later Amiga that looked a lot better than the NES.
Yeah.
And they just had no idea. Like, they were showing a bill of sale that they did not have. It is unjust.
Yeah. A fool and his seed money.
Yeah. Yeah. So my first one is pretty, you know, I have a couple shit ones before mine ramp up, but I have a Jupiter Scope, which I think is number eight, which is a really, really, really boring shooter. You're a ship on the bottom. There is a skyline and meteors fall and you shoot them out of the air or not. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you won't get to the next level unless you shoot them. You that's what your level is based on. But there's nothing happens if the meteors just hit the city. But it's really, like, they didn't put these on in chronological order. This is definitely a later one that I feel like they made later. Cause there's no sound effects. There's no transitions. Like, when you get to level two, it just, like, the screen goes black and fades back up. But there's no impact sound effects. Like, it's impossible to know whether you're doing good or doing bad. But it's really, really boring. Nothing happens. Like, it's literally just like, dodge, you know, shoot these meteors or not. That's it.
Well, in fairness, they probably were not even recognizing that your projectile touched the enemy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's very narrow. It's just like a little, like, shooting a little lowercase L on a keyboard. And so you have to make sure you hit just right on. I tried to write notes for these and tried to include, like, jokes or observations and didn't really get any. The only thing I have in here is drops of Jupiter Scope, which would be, like, the pop single follow-up.
Oh, it was the best soy latte that you ever had.
Yeah.
God, I fucking hate that song. That's
it's really bad. I have to see if the video is any good, because that'd be a good Teen Fags thing.
I thought about. Well, tell me. It's funny because I thought about recommending it. I went in and rolled it up. It's just Train singing in a church. Yeah. Boy. And so it's like a concert video, except with a bunch of close ups.
So they're playing to God.
Yeah, well, you know, they're pseudo. So wasn't one of their songs called, like, Rat Train or something like that?
Oh, I don't know.
But King Rat?
I like if it was Rat Train and their name was Train.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be like if there's ZZ Top and one of their songs is called Rat ZZ Top.
The video was just like a Wes Anderson Fantastic Mr. Fox kind of thing.
The cool in The Simpsons where Lisa shears the sheep and it turns out to be a rat. And he has that big poof of white hair. It'd be like that, but with ZZ Top. Like, you just leave the beard. Yeah. These cool guy rats.
He'd be dragging underneath them, picking up, sopping up all the urine that he drags.
Yeah, well, that's what they want.
Yeah.
They're disgusting creatures.
Yeah. That's what all of us want, is a tuft of hair to sop up our urine.
Yeah.
So my game was number five, Ooze.
This is a famous one. You know,
yes,
the story. You know the secret of the ooze, right?
Yes, I do. Okay. This was kind of like Sword Quest Earthworld, except the money was even more impossible to win.
Yeah, like literally so. Mm-hmm. I love everything about this, like this contest idea. It's very funny to me.
So the idea was, if you could get to level 5, I think, of Ooze, this game, which is just this platformer, you have a projectile that doesn't really work. And the thing about these platformers is, like, in Illuminator, you were not expected to really jump or anything. In none of these platformer games can you actually confer momentum to yourself when you jump. You have to jump and then move right.
Yes.
So otherwise, you just jump straight up and down.
Yeah, you run as fast as you can, and then immediately do just a standing jump.
Yep.
It's really weird.
Yeah. And so I never got to the point where it felt like it was impossible. There were many points where it felt like it was impossible. I moved on from this game thinking it was just broken, that I couldn't get over the first pit, until I realized that momentum trick. But yeah, like, what technically makes this game impossible to beat?
Oh, yeah, there's a glitch, right? Like, you have to beat level 5 to get the money, and then you get a unique code. And you can get to level 5 with, like, save states and ROM hacking to get the code. It's not a unique code. Everyone gets the same code. Mm-hmm. And then you can't actually do it without going into the computer, if I remember.
Oh.
So it's, like, double protected. Like, not only is it just everyone gets the same thing, you know, so there's no way to tell them apart. But you can't actually do it.
Hmm. Just the same code. So the first person who gets it there, like, would have
got $104,000.
Yeah.
$52,000 of which would have been a scholarship.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Which is fine. Except
it's laudable. It's kind of weird for, like, a kid appealing, you know, and boys, that's throwing some money around.
Yeah. Have a savings bond, kid.
Yeah. The next one I have, which I think is called I can pull up the email. It has a really boring name. It's not this is really boring. It's just a vertical scrolling shooter with no power ups. It's better than Jupiter Scope in that, like, it's just you move.
Thrusters.
But that's it. Like, there's nothing to this. This game, there's literally nothing. Like, I got pretty far in it. I got to level 4. A couple of these I managed to get, you know, really get some ground in. But this one, there's not even anything funny to say about it. It's really frustrating. But then after this, I have, like, it's almost all hits. Like,
okay,
I had a really good rolls after the first two.
It's really funny that your shooters had multiple levels because mine did not.
Yeah. Well, something you wouldn't know. Like, they probably did, but you have to get, like, some arbitrary score counter. And you'll just go, boink, and just end up on a new level.
My next one, critical bypass, which, Gary, if you thought this was a if you had to take a guess if this was about transportation or surgery, which would you say?
I hope that it's surgery. That's what I'm going to go for.
The answer is always both. If you're given an option between two, the answer is both, at least apparently, because this is a single screen side scrolling shooter kind of thing where you're playing what appears to be a gigantic blood cell flying over the freeway. Like, this is the craziest Yes album cover ever.
I can dig that. Like, so far, so good when it comes to Critical Bypass.
Well, okay, so aesthetically, this is good, and this makes me want, like, a competent remake of Action 52. Just take all of these premises, do, like, a game jam or something like that, and take them and execute them properly. The thing is,
you're the same color as the background?
What's that?
Is that the thing you're going to say, is that you're the same color as the background?
No, you stick out. The problem is, you shoot in whatever direction you pressed last.
Oh, that's really weird.
And because of that weird, like, you can't do two inputs at once. Like, you can't. It just doesn't work.
You have to move. Because I'm watching a little video of Critical BP right now, and I can't differentiate the character from the background when he's off the road.
Oh.
Like, the road is just really noisy, and he's very noisy in a way that I can't tell.
Yeah, the road has this weird dithering effect. It's like they digitized, like, actual asphalt.
And it's critical with a Y, which I can get into as well. I'm going to give this one a win.
Clinical bypass.
Yeah, clinical. Ugh. I never bypass the clinical.
No, it's clinical inconsiderate. You know?
Yeah, it's inconsiderate. I comes before you. I watched Being John Malkovich again, and there's that joke where the filing lady says, like, maybe after that you can file me. And remember, when it comes to filing, I come before you, or something like that. It's really weird.
It's so good.
It's really funny, but it's also the second half of it's not funny at all.
Oh, no.
And it's just dark. And even the first half of it is like, I was surprised by how I forgot how terrible everyone is in that. Like, everyone's a monster except for John Malkovich. Like, oh, you're going to put Cameron Diaz in a cage for a while? Like, one is not simply cage Cameron Diaz.
No.
Meme.
You can't.
Boromir.
You cannot put Cameron Diaz in a cage. The late 2000s tried and they failed.
Yeah, exactly. Charlie's Angels called. So next up I have, this is the first, like, there's no straight up redemptions, but there are ones that are, there is, like, strata. You know, like, there are better games than others.
I was kind of upset that you got this one and I didn't.
This is okay. This is Haunted Hill. Which is,
does it star, like, Vincent Price, please?
Yeah, I wish. I think it's supposed to be Haunted Hall is what it's supposed to be. Cause there's no hills. You are a red lady with gigantic boobs. And you throw tiny crosses at ghost, as you walk to the right.
Oh, so this was predicting Bloodstained.
It's more or less Bloodstained. It is, I think that we're trying to go for some kind of Castlevania thing. The problem is that the ghosts have, like, really insane tracking and come from you from above and below, but you have no ability to deal with that. And they, to adjust their vertical, they don't have to stop. So, like, if one of them's coming at you, and you have to jump and throw a cross at them, they keep moving towards you. So they can spawn in such a way that there's just nothing you can do. Like, you move away from them, but you can't jump and turn back and fire quick enough. So it's all, like, ghosts coming to you through the floors and ceilings at 45 degree angles, and you have very limited ability to deal with it. But man, are your tits big. Like, it's amazing for this game. Like, I've never seen a character in a video game with breasts this big.
So now I need to look this up.
It's like surgery big. Like, it's really, really intense.
Like, you're going to be a star big. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like Marty McFly's mom in Back to the Future 2 when he goes to the future.
Ugh. That's no good. I like that actress, but that's a very unsettling movie.
It's not a good image.
No.
No.
On her. Let's see here. Holy cow.
Yeah, she's got really huge tits and really broad shoulders too.
Yeah, no, she's like an Amazon. She's got a shelf.
I would
call that a breastal shelf.
Yeah, I would sit on that breastal shelf. And if you try to stop me, I'll call my attorney, Brustle Shelf.
attorney law. I'm going to do. Okay, so tell me this, Gary. In Portland, do you have billboards for lawyers, but lawyer is in question or is in quotation marks?
No.
We have these all over Cincinnati for multiple different offices. The best lawyer there.
That's funny.
I'll take some pictures the next time I'm downtown. So they're trying for a Castlevania thing, and that's kind of a bummer. I think that my next one is trying for like maybe a bit of an Adventure Island thing, but Bubblegum Rosie, which in the actual title is just called Bubblegum Rossi, which I'm not sure if that was something I was trying to.
That's a drink I like to make with your blood.
it's my blood, and then like amoxicillin.
Yeah,
that you get from the doctor for kids.
Yep.
You just wait outside of the pharmacy. Just here. Fuck you, kid. I'm going to take. I don't care.
Have a bubblegum Rossi. Kid? Now, have you ever drank human blood before? You have now, Junior.
You don't know where I've been, Junior. You don't know where I've been. So bubblegum Rossi. Yeah, this is a similarly sexualized kind of character, except instead of having a shelf of breast, she is wearing some.
She has a shelf
rocket.
Vagina?
Oh. Yeah, got some curios, some precious moments figurines. just tastefully got some LED backlighting. Phillips Hue just reacts to her playlist. You know, just up in that piece. No, she has these like a very high dress and very high heels, and also projectiles which do nothing.
The programmer made this for his girlfriend.
Oh, nice.
This was made after his... This is a tribute to her, I found out. So,
yeah. There's one single comprehensive fact on Game Facts for this
game.
That
is... I was going to go into that at some point, because there's nothing funny about it.
Nope.
That guy's a hero.
I know.
Like, that guy gets, like, some kind of Game Facts award. Like, Dan Simpson, who does all the Infinity Engine stuff, who does really comprehensive facts. And then President Evil, who did that really good Resident Evil plot fact. And then
the
this guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Like this is one of those, like, this is really good, because he just kind of goes through each one. He charts the glitches and shit too.
Yeah, he says which games work in which emulators.
Yeah, like this, it's a really good fact.
And
like,
even his thanks section, you know, he doesn't just do, you know, God, big ups to God, the guy upstairs. He like says, oh, thanks to so and so for telling me about blah blah blah. Like, he doesn't even thank CJ, I don't think.
No, he's legit, and he tries to make some jokes, but they're not as bad as they could be.
Yeah.
So, good job.
Yeah.
Guy.
But in that fact, he says this is one of the most broken in the game, just because it actually is not passable. Like after a certain point, I didn't get to that point. This was the game where I realized you actually could confer horizontal movement onto a jump.
Yeah. I didn't have to do that, because I didn't get very many platformers until well later, and then eventually got it. But So my next one is Sharks, which is a little bit like the scenes in the Jaws Nintendo game.
Okay.
When you're in the diving suit and you're shooting sharks, just forever though. And like this one is, you know, so you're just diving back and forth, shooting sharks, killing them for no reason, and you just do it forever. But the weird thing about this game is that the enemy spawning is obviously on a timer, because that's how these games work. But the timer is so generous that I counted at 1.9 seconds where nothing happened. Like, I killed a shark, and then a full 9 seconds before another shark showed up. It is a shocking disrespect for my time.
9 seconds is forever. Let's just do 9 seconds right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time. So if you're playing a video game and you're just like staring, and the music's really aggressively bad, it's really rough. There's no like, this was the game. So Action 52 brought a lot of like revelations to me.
Okay.
This one and the last one made me think that like, even in a game where I don't care about the story and I just want to jump around, having some kind of context really helps.
Yeah.
You know, like, even if this just had a little thing where it's like, you know, these sharks killed your dad, go on, kill them. I would be like, okay, I'm killing sharks for my dad. Instead of just like, these are beautiful creatures, murder them, you know, forever. like as a theme. Like, I would have liked to have had story, and some of that stuff was in the manual, which this dude helpfully reprints in his fucking game fact.
Really?
Yeah, in the game fact, it has the blurb from the manual as like what you're supposed to be doing.
So what's the context for sharks?
I didn't end up reading sharks on the thing. I ended up running out of time.
No.
Before I can get this.
Killing sharks for your dad. It's the family business out there.
And business is a booming.
Harvesting marine cartilage.
You are a frogman and must collect rare marine creatures and recover lost treasures at the bottom of the sea.
Lost cartilage treasures.
Yeah.
We call that springy gold. Pliable tea.
Rubber tea.
Yep.
That's really... and you can always retreat into your electromagnetic base that repels sharks. I didn't get that far. Oh, that's a thing.
So it's like Yara's Revenge. You have an electromagnetic field.
That's what it says, but none of those things are actually on the screen.
Nice.
So I guess jellyfish show up later, but I did not get there.
Yeah. So my next game is non-human. So I think that this is the other side of Haunted Hill. I think that it also in the title screen,
this auto completes the non-human Action 52 owns. Does it indeed own? Because
no, seriously, look up a screenshot of this thing, because I think you're going to be delighted.
Oh shit.
So your character is like a lanky vampire guy, but that doesn't matter. At the bottom of the screen, there's a repeating series of green-faced ghouls in the Charlie Kelly fashion that have sunglasses. They look like mascots that would be on juice products for kids in the 90s.
Yeah, this is really special. It's like a little bit like vampire chunks from the Goonies, like a big misshapen skull. There's fan art for this thing.
Really?
Yeah, they're non-human. There's non-human fan art.
I'm not surprised.
Huh. Oh, man. Did you get to the level? There's a later level where that's tiled in the background.
No, I didn't get to that.
Oh, that's a nightmare. Is there a way? How do we drop something in for people who are watching to look at?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know either. But if you Google image search it, you'll find it. And I can send it to you. I'll put it in the chat. Yeah. It's pretty special.
So I'm not sure if this is just the boss. Like,
I don't know.
Oh wow, it is tiled in the background. Like, that is like that's straight up Waffles Revenge type shit.
This does own.
Pretty good.
That's really good.
Yeah, so eventually my notes just devolve into nonsensical poetry about these. Lanky vampire thing attacked by chatter teeth over top of green faced sunglasses men.
Yeah, yes, that sounds apt.
The enemies there are actually like chatter teeth, like were in the drawer of Ralphie's teacher.
Yeah.
yeah.
This is where I get my like what the fuck corridor as well. Starting with streamers with a Z.
Yeah, PewDiePie, you got Matt Lees in there.
This is you are a tiny clown.
Oh,
and check this out, Cole. What do you think, I'm going to surprise and delight you, what does this clown do to get around?
Tiny car?
Grappling hook. Like, this has to, if you ever do the Hex Crank for grappling hook games, Streamers has to be on there, buddy, because he uses a little grappling hook.
It's in there. Oh, God, what would Hex Crank for grappling hooks be called? The Parabola?
Yeah, something like that.
Arc?
The Parabola Rapport? So you use this little grappling hook, but everything else about it is like, so it's just a vertical platformer. You're this tiny clown. There are little money bags on the ground that hurt you, which I don't know why, but they hurt you and turn into a frowning face. There are little rabbits in a hat that I think are supposed to be power-ups, but don't have collision detection. Mm-hmm. And you look like a little fat, like you're bubble bobble proportioned, more or less. Mm-hmm. You fight human proportioned enemies that are the same height. So like tall, like very short, but slender clowns with dog heads. And it's a real nightmare.
Clown dogators?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So the clown dogators, it's really weird and they're hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
But they're definitely tiny little clowns with dog heads instead of human heads.
Streamers. I need to look at this.
Two E's ends with a Z.
Four Z's. Stream. Oh, it auto completed. Very nice. Whoa.
Also, the ground that you're on, it's just a tiled something or other. And one time it was just arrows, like the thing that comes with, you know, when you look at the cutting room floor and they'll be like, here's a bunch of fucking arrow tiles that they had in the game for some reason. And you're just like, anyway, I don't care. This game uses all those.
So that's the crazy thing about this, too, because you talk about the different proportions. This is something that we run into because each of these games has different conceits and roughly different mechanics, but they had to share so many assets. Each game is this clash of styles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really rough. And then they reused a lot of those and kind of built on them for the Genesis version, too. Like, nothing's really rebuilt, is what I read. Like, they did a little bit of rebuilding, but they end up, like, some sprites that look very similar to the NES ones sneak their way into that. Mm. Even though that the Genesis one was developed by the Color of Dinosaur people. Just tying into the Burt's Dinosaurs.
Really? Yeah. No. Okay. So Far Side Studios, actually, I looked at this too. They have been active until like the mid 2000s. Actually, no, 2012. They made like a bunch of the game party and backyard sports games. Basically, any game that the Flanders family would buy when they came into my GameStop.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys.
Yeah. Also the Scarface Money, Power, Respect game.
Oh boy.
Whew.
Oh boy.
Hmm.
All right, what do you got next?
Fuzz Power, Gary, where you play as a kid caveman-esque, very hairy, tiny little, I guess, monotreme? I don't know. But he's more hair than man, and he's got one gigantic foot. Like some kind of horrible, like he was bit by some kind of terrible scorpion.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, the reason why I say that is because he shows up later. There's a comparison between him and Mashman.
Okay.
Because I had Mashman on my list. Check out this separated at birth. These guys, I just linked you. So the guy on the right is Mashman.
They're all foot.
Yeah, it's like one guy with a mono leg and a giant foot. And a big dangling dick nose.
Wait a minute, so there must be another mono foot dick nose wandering around because one of these guys is not Fuzz Power.
Why do they think that design is worth, like... repeating that many times, you know, it's really weird. Like, it is, you know, not
feet, man. Feet, come on. Some people got hang-ups.
Oh, I see your fuzz guy. Yeah. Well, that's him. Like, you can see his dick nose though sticking out of the pubic hair. Like, he definitely looks like one of these guys if he was shaved.
Yeah, no, he is the floor of a Blue Aster cult dressing room.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Whew. Yeah, but you don't have a projectile attack. You've got like a little spinning sonic attack. And Gary, what do you think you fight in Fuzz Power?
If I had to guess, let's just be generous and say dinosaurs.
No, you fight hair dryers, Gary.
Okay. Very well.
Gigantic hair dryers that are prowling the savannah and what I assume is like prehistoric Pangea. That shoot out little black squiggles that have hitboxes roughly three times the size of the sprite.
I'm kind of into that. I'll take it.
No, it's good. It's good.
It's a winner.
It's bad. It's really bad.
The next up, I got Micro Mike, which the GameFAQs guy also said was one of the most broken games in there.
Mm-hmm.
So Micro Mike, like, you kind of have to see it. You can pull up a muted video. You're like, I've written here, has to be seen, no music, tiny sperm genie flies to the right too fast, no way to do anything, ostensibly a horizontal shooter. Because it's like you're supposed to be going through these gaps like Flappy Bird or what have you, but the game goes so quick. Like, you just go to the right and you slam into the wall less than a second after you start, unless you know what to do right away. It's like a ROM hack, it's like an I Want to Be the Guy ROM hack.
Is it randomized?
No.
Okay.
No, there's a way to get to it. So it's kind of like if you started Battletoads on like the later battle bike sections, but worse. Like, because you immediately have to be pressing down like as the game starts, or you're not going to clear the first one.
This looks like it's funny you say Battletoads because it looks like the speeder stages in the Game Boy version of Battletoads.
Yeah,
which should be wonderful fodder for this show.
Yeah, that is very, very rough.
Yeah.
This is impossible hard. Like, you could play it like Super Hexagon. Like, just like, how many seconds can you last in the game?
Okay, so what's the manual blurb for Micro Mike?
Let me see if I can pull that bad boy up. He's not a sperm genie, which is what I thought he was. He's only the size of a flea, and it's difficult getting from here to there when you're smaller than a strand of hair. It seems like in your land, or it seems like you're in the land of giants. That's all they got.
I see a piece of fan art here, which makes him look like Karnoff, but without any legs. He's just pelvis up, sitting on a tile floor with a bathtub, like, spigot sticking up over him.
I wish.
He says, "This wasn't my idea of a bath." And Gary, somebody out there in this big blue marble of ours is jerking it so right.
To Micro Mike?
To Micro Mike.
He's built for sounding. Like, he's sounding optimized.
For sticking shit up his dick?
No, for you putting him up your dick.
Oh.
Like, if you want to get Inception in this stuff and get Micro Mike, like you could, if you want to make yourself a turdicken by having something in Micro Mike's dick and then have him in turn inside your dick, yes.
Wait a minute. So could I sound Micro Mike into my Mighty Mike while watching Magic Mike? Also, Mighty Mike is the name of my dick.
Mighty Mike.
No, it's not.
No, that's okay.
You will never know the true name of my dick.
Yeah, because I guess
you'd be
power.
Able to control it.
Yeah, you can summon it.
My dick's name is a killing word.
Yeah.
Gary, do you believe in kismet?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, cool. Why not? Because number 38, my next one is called They Came.
Okay. Yeah, works out.
So it checks out. Okay, yeah, cool. This is a single screen space, I guess, shooter where you are flying around what appears to be blocky coral. Like, seriously, like, it looks like gigantic, mm-hmm. like, orange pubes. Like, pubes the color of Lloyd's suit from Dumb and Dumber.
Or Lloyd's pubes, probably.
Yep.
Like.
Yeah. Keeps you from healing. basically, you just die for no reason. It doesn't matter where the projectiles are. You just will... dead. Game over screen.
That's a big problem. In a lot of these, that is common. Yeah, the next one. So, this is probably my favorite game in the group.
Mm-hmm.
As far as actually playing it, this is Crybaby. In Crybaby, like, you are an adult proportioned baby, so I can only assume it's like a man crawling around in a diaper.
Oh, an AB.
Trying to put out fires in your house that keep showing up while other people try to stop you mm-hmm. from putting out fires. And you have a thing, you like lean back, like on your knees, like lean back and put your butt on your heels and shoot a little like spray thing. It makes a spraying noise, but it looks like a whip to hit everything. And you just climb on furniture to get from level to level. But it's kind of good. Like, it controls fine. And like, I kind of had fun with it.
Huh.
It's not a redemption.
No.
Like, it's not, like, I would not choose to play this. I'll never play it again. But it's the best game I played on Action 52.
So you are an infant human trying to thwart accessories to arson?
Except that there's no... You're no smaller than the adults.
Okay.
Like, you're definitely a person crawling around in a diaper. There's no other way around it because you're so big.
Oh, it's New Year's morning. Like, after shit got too real the night before?
Oh, that could definitely be it. Yeah. Baby New Year is back again.
Wait, is he spraying his bottle? Is that the whip kind of thing?
I think it's spraying the bottle. Try to get Crybaby back to his crib, but be careful to avoid open electric sockets, poisons, and fire. There are things to help along the way, such as cookies, lollipops, candy bars, and pacifiers. If the baby meets any bad guys trying to kidnap him, he squeezes his bottle and shoots them.
Wait a minute. So this whole game was a tax write-off because this is a PSA. Stay away from electrical sockets, kid.
It's like Home Alone Jr. Like,
huh? Yeah, I looked up a picture. I looked up a Google image search for Action 52 baby, and there's just a picture of a revolver. Oh man! The next one here, Manchester Beat.
Oh, okay. Is that like a rhythm game?
No, but you are a sunglasses ponytail man with only a punch attack who is trying to avoid ninja stars that are flying from the right side of the screen. And you do so by jumping on blocks that are, I believe, like just ripped straight from Mario 3. They are the music blocks.
Okay.
So there's no rhythm to it or anything. You're just avoiding these ninja stars and jumping on blocks that have quarter note signs on them.
Looks legit to me.
Yeah.
They do look all like the Mario 3 things, yeah.
There's nothing to it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're really short.
Yep.
Like, you have very weird proportions in that game. That is a weird sprite. Next up, I got Crazy Shuffle, which is like a single-screen maze game, but your character is not as wide as the maze. You played Robotron.
Yes.
Right? Like, a Robotron character is in a Pac-Man maze. Like, you can move from side to side. And so, which is hard, because that means you can't shoot enemies. Like, you have a one-pixel gun, but you have to, if you are in the same hallway as someone, you're not guaranteed to hit them. There's, like, more give than that. And you can't touch the walls, or else you get hurt. So you can't, like, put yourself flush up against the wall. It's really bad. This is one of the worst ones.
It's just straight up mismatch. Like, they didn't even consider what the proportions of what they were making you do.
Yeah, it is nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. My next game is called Boss.
Okay.
Which, Boss. You know, a boss. It could either be like a, you know, Metal Gear kind of thing, or it could be like a Shadow of the Colossus style boss rush kind of thing. No, you are a lizard man, presumably ruling over the hollow earth, as you walk around with your rifle down the city streets as monster hands drop old style bombs on top of you.
This is, and there's fan art of this where you're a cool crocodile man.
Oh yeah,
with a Tommy gun.
Yeah, you are straight up lizard Illuminati prowling the false moon that orbits inside of our hollow earth.
I can dig it.
Yep.
So I'm calling this one a redemption as well.
Yeah, this
I didn't
is...
play it, but it works.
Well, it's one of the more functional ones that I played. This must have been early when they still had any fucks left to give.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Next up, I got Mashman, which I already told you. I showed you that picture of him. My notes for this. Holy shit. Dick Nose sunglasses mutant with a single leg that ends in a single giant foot. Walks past Duplo Block Nightmare to avoid tiny triangles the same color of Duplo Block Nightmare. So,
Nightmare is actually a pretty apt thing, because, like, I could imagine being in a nightmare where somebody shoots me with a Cronenberg Videodrome gun, except instead of making me, you know, grow a chest vagina that I plug VHSs into, it fuses my legs together and makes me grow a macro foot.
That's what I think about when people think about mermaids. Like, was there a movie where, like, somebody got turned into a mermaid and their legs fused together? Or was that just how I imagined it happening in Little Mermaid?
I want to say Splash.
Okay.
No, but that was just Daryl Hannah being sexy and popularizing the name Madison.
Yeah, she didn't. There definitely wasn't a scene where her, like, human legs fused together painfully and, you know, over ominous music.
It would have to be in Little Mermaid when she turns back into a mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that part they cut out. Spooky. But yeah, I don't want, because your skin will do that, right? Like, it's like how if you get an ear piercing, uh-huh, it eventually will just close on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you keep two pieces of your skin close together long enough, like, they grow together, right?
I cannot attest to that. If I hold my hands together, they will fuse. I guess I
don't actually know. It just seems like it, because of the ear piercing thing.
I've heard of morbidly obese shut-ins fusing to their chairs.
Yeah. So it's like the same principle. Like, theoretically, if you wanted to, like, you could get somebody, like, tie them up.
We're gonna be together forever.
Bind their legs together, and then eventually they would just form into one gigantic Mashman, like, mermaid mutant leg.
Yeah. No, this is the weirdest marriage ever.
It's really gross to me. Like, we're, I don't orthodox, want any of my skin to fuse into any of my other skin. Like,
we're orthodox mash men.
Yeah, I'm way into being just coated with an uninterrupted layer of skin.
Yeah. Well, one of the most effective scenes from The Matrix, right? Where his mouth
fuses
together, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I just think about that. Like, that could just definitely happen. And, like, what if we lived in a world where, like, it happened on a time scale that was manageable? Like, if you were watching a movie, you had to be careful that, like, your fingers weren't together for the whole movie. Or, like, when you got out of the movie, you'd have to, like...
You'd have to be in constant motion. Cuddling would be an act on the order of, like, playing Russian roulette.
Yeah, you'd have to use, like, chess timers. Like,
you could only cuddle at properly sanctioned urgent cares.
Yeah, or while wearing an entire, like, a full body condom with gloves and, like, those weirdo running shoes, like those toe gloves.
You'd have to be rogue.
Oh, yeah.
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 Huh.
It's very gross to me, though. I don't want my skin to merge with anybody else's.
Neither do I. It's upsetting. Yeah. That's a bad notion.
I find it very gross.
My next game was 49 Jigsaw. But okay. It wouldn't run. This is one that is not emulatable on any system that I tried to emulate it on. So I bumped one up to Hambo's Adventures.
How's Hambo doing?
Well, Hambo is a pig man.
Okay, that makes sense. Machine for Hambos.
This is a single screen platformer where you are running around levels as a pig man, as I said. Sorry, my note got redundant. You're just jumping over stuff. This is probably the most competent game that I played. However, it's completely randomized, and also there is no mind paid to whether or not the game, like, it will be winnable. So some platforms will just have four moving enemies that are moving faster than you can, all in a phase that you can't jump over.
Well, that sounds annoying.
Yes.
To me. That's not my ham bone.
No, it's not ham bone, as in ham bone and flippy. This is Hambo.
Hambo.
Like Rambo, but with an H.
Okay. Gotcha.
This ham bone. Pork. Yep. Ham bone. There we go. Like ham bone and flippy.
I like it.
Yeah.
I dig it. my last game before the Cheetah Man was Billy Bob. which, like, Billy Bob is their take on, based on the name, what would you guess Billy Bob is?
Like a Bayou Billy kind of thing where you're like, it's like tubing, but you got some gator smooches.
It's their version of, like, Prince of Persia. It's like a cinematic platformer, right? Like, you wouldn't think that would be here, but that's what it is. It is like a trap based and slow, like, overly animated version of, like, a Prince of Persia game. You're like a little Indiana Jones man.
Whoa.
And you but it's really weird. Like, you have very fluid walk animations, but no resting animation.
Oh.
So you do this very, like, fluid walk. And then when you stop, you just stop with one leg in the air. Yeah, yeah, like just doing the Egyptian or what have you.
do you just stop in whatever frame you're in?
Yeah, as you're walking, like, you stop in the frame. And then you ledge, like, you jump up onto ledges and pull yourself up. And it's like six frames of animation or something to do it. Like, it's weirdly impressive.
Like, they rotoscoped it?
Yeah. It is really weird.
It's weird. It's 51 of these shitty games, and then, like, an NES remake of a Scanner Darkly.
It is a lot like that. It is, but it's really terrible, and you can't get. I couldn't get past the second screen in it, because even doing the jumping trick, I could not jump over a gap, and you can't. A lot of these games have no tolerance for fall damage.
No. Like, and they don't even, like, let you land. If you drop two character lengths, you'll just and then die.
Well, no, you don't even do that. There's no dying sound effect or anything like that. Yeah. You just get the how many lives remaining screen just splashes up. No fanfare.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, at least one of these games, along those lines, when you die, it doesn't take you to, like, the beginning stage. It just blacks out the screen. So I had to restart the emulator. Incompetent. So, Gary, let us talk about the heirs apparent to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fortune.
Yeah. So Cheetah Men, this is obviously a Ninja Turtles ripoff. And it obviously has the most, like, if Cheetah Men was just a game on its own, there was not 51 other games attached to it, like, it would be a good Abject Suffering game to do, because it's not good. But it's so, it is, like, you can tell, like, this is the flagship, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's this opening cinematic. Like, you wouldn't expect that, but there is.
With a viewer surrogate character called Action Game Master.
You know why that is, right?
Well, because it's Action 52?
Well, prior to deciding, before the guy thought of Cheetah Men, he was originally going to make this last game be a game where it just tested to see if you had beaten the bosses of all the previous games. You had to beat all 51 games to beat game 52.
What?
And that's who this character was the character who was like your avatar for that.
And that assumes that the previous 51 games were beatable.
Yes. So it was okay. Early on, and that's why it's, you know, seems like a little bit like a video game.
But they decided this is incompetent, and you are promptly dragged into the world of the video game by a mechanical arm, like the beginning of every fan fiction ever, where your Mary Sue is dragged into the game world. And the Cheetah Men, who are so sexy and just with rippling pectorals and abs, say, "Don't worry, we will take care of this for you." And then they go about it.
You play different Cheetah Men as you go. There's three Cheetah Men. Which one's your favorite?
Well, I gotta say, I only ever I only got up to Hercules. Is like the one with the clubs.
Oh, sure.
With the two, yeah, he's good because Hercules is fucking incompetent. Yeah,
Hercules can't do shit. He's a gentle giant who wouldn't harm a fly, according to his bio.
Cool. I'm glad that he's in this combat-based game.
Yeah,
love it. I love it when manuals in fiction try to account. Remember, like, Fester's Quest? Like, oh, there's weird things happening with reality.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good boy. The the martial artist is the first one, Ares, and then the leader is Apollo, who is their leader, who loves technology and crossbows.
Yeah, played by Carl Weathers.
Yes. Yep. And together there, and he has an English accent. There's like a little promo cartoon thing that's a commercial for this, because there was going to be a Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
It never happened.
This was going to be a cross media empire.
There's little mock-ups for the action figures in the back of the comic, which we'll talk about. Yeah, they're pretty good. And the very funny thing, let me give you the link to the comic thing right now, because the person who did it on the last page of the comic put in their shitty like pitches for a girl Cheetah Men character. Like,
you know, for the girls, right?
Yeah, like they just added it as the last page of Cheetah Men, like their drawing of it. It's pretty amazing.
Just in case this doesn't work for you, why don't you beat off to this, Leighton?
Yep.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so. Oh, they're reaching in with their hands to do like a on 3, 3, 2, 1.
That's at the
we
end.
We are the Cheetah Men.
They do their famous battle cry: "Live in large." Live in large.
Oh man! Ask your local toy store for information.
Check out this turn though. So God, I don't know what page it is. I'm just going to read it. So the story of the Cheetah Men. Dr. Morbus goes into the woods and catches some cheetah. No, he has to out of the woods, the jungle. Catches some cheetah, injects them, and turns them into these things called subspecies, which are this version of mutants. And he immediately tells them to go into this village and steal any goods they find and kill anyone who resists.
Well, they don't know. They're cheetahs, right?
Well, they kind of know. Like and this is 15 years later. His idea was to, like, turn these cheetah thing, make these Cheetah Men, raise them for 15 years, and then set them loose on a village. This is the turnaround they have is they're climbing a tree, and they say, I can't believe Doc Morbus, comma, isn't killing bad. What does it mean anyway? Says Hercules. Apollo says, it means to take away life, and it's wrong. I think I've seen a killing once, and it, Dr. Morbus killed our mother. Next panel.
Oh no, it's all coming back. It all came back
between panels, and then the final panel is them getting ready to go confront Dr. Morbus and saying their other catchphrase, let's get busy. Immediately bust in on Dr. Morbus and say, Doc Morbus, we have questions. We want answers. Doc Morbus, he's playing the very long con, because keep in mind this is 15 years later. Welcome, my Cheetah Men. I knew you'd be back, and we've prepared for your visit. I've created a new subspecies formula that can control mind. And I've commanded a new subspecies to control you. And then his friend, he has a little mechanical toady who says, time for a freak out. And then he sends the three villains, the hyena, white rhino, and scavenger against them. And they say their other catchphrase, let's sink some subs. That's what they do when they're going to fight some subhumans.
Let's sink.
Let's sink some subs.
I would love it if their origin story was like Wolverine and they just fought in all the wars. Like, yeah. Yes, let us sink the Potomac or whatever. Yeah. the old Ironsides.
Doc Morbius is a really good character.
Huh.
I just gotta say, like, I'm way into Doc Morbius because he's just like, I don't know what he's getting at. He's mysterious. He looks like Vincent Price, too, to an earlier thing.
Hmm. Yeah, Gary, I'm not going to lie to you. I've just been looking at these lady cheetah men or cheetah women.
Can't take my eyes off these pitches for leads.
I think that something has awakened inside me. My junk move.
Mm. Just the third lady cheetah men from the right looks a lot like an Image comic, like Wildcats,
yes,
or something like that. Like
it's very inconsistent how their spots are applied too, because they have human lady hair except that it's like spotted, so I think they wake up every day and just apply it with like a like Krylon.
Yeah, like apply dollops of
yep. Living large. I love how they have three catchphrases.
Living large, let's sink some subs, let's get busy.
Which the idea that like the bad guys, the, you know, just the cannon fodder are called subhumans makes me wonder if this is just some kind of weird like Dark Enlightenment like cloaked racist treaties.
Well, yeah, like they and immediately they're in Dark Africa, so it's a little bit troubling in general.
A bit,
yeah. Huh. It's very confusing. Like I would have relished the chance to learn more about these guys.
Yeah.
And here's the sad thing, right? Like, if this came out a couple years before it did, mm-hmm. I probably would have watched this cartoon on TV, and it's possible I would have been young enough to not really get what was wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's possible I could have liked this.
Yeah. No, because like, it would have been there, right?
Like, absolutely, yeah.
That's all it took was for something to be there. I fucking watched VR Troopers because I'd seen all the Power Rangers episodes there were, you know? Like,
yeah. And it was just like you were like one hair's breadth away from Beetleborgs. Like, flabbering it up. Like, you could have... do you think there were kids that went to bat for Action 52 and Cheetah Men? Like, on the playground were just like, no, this is awesome. Like, turtles suck. These things are great. Because there were kids like that for Battletoads.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember having kids be like, you know, Battletoads, like, Ninja Turtles are old and stupid. Battletoads rule.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just if we're talking Reptilia here, come on.
Yeah.
the only thing better is the Slammin' Salamanders, which is the franchise I never got off the ground.
Aww.
I know, right? Just wasted potential. There has to be, right? Because when you're talking about a $200 cartridge, which I guess in 1991 dollars might have been $4,000, there has to be some kind of like Mac versus PC level familial institutionalized sunk cost fallacy, right?
yeah like if your dad spent $200 on this thing, it was like, you know, this is your Christmas and birthday present for the next like 4 years.
It's like, god damn it, I'm not gonna buy you all these games, I'm gonna buy you this one thing and you're gonna be done. God,
you're gonna
damn
like
it. Yeah,
you know, you'd have to, you'd get into it, you'd feel some pride, and like
mm-hmm.
it's fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. 52. I could spend a whole week mastering every game on this. That's a year worth of gaming. Like, I got this knocked out.
Yeah. Yeah. You would. I could see you going to bat for it. And then, like, the Cheetah Men being
me personally,
like,
what?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if everything, all your sundry interests don't work out.
Yeah.
Gotta get famous somehow.
So when I was thinking of this, I was putting together the idea of, again, 50 once a week, we could do a worst idea in the world style show about this game.
Oh yeah. And then just do every week, just do a different game. Yeah.
Yeah. But we blew our load on episode 100. So there
that's
we go.
True. Yeah. That'll be our follow-up podcast. After Suffering Ever Dies, we'll just do the Action 52 cast.
After we get through all 700 games.
Yep, it's like a UHF news show. Like, Action 52.
This Chopper is so day. Misguided. Just so misguided.
It's. But the weird thing about Action 52 is it's not the most misguided.
No.
We've done, like, there are a bunch of games in here that are considerably better than X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, that being the gold standard for shittiness, I think, that we've done.
And it's weird, like, Illuminator, Hambo, those, like, if they had a win state and if they weren't randomized, they would be good ideas. Like,
yeah.
How many NES games that you know of played with light? Well, right? Like,
yeah, yeah, none. Like, it's like the thing is, like, if somebody came up to me when I was, like, in my early 20s, I was a recent college graduate, and said, listen, I'm going to make this game. It's going to be huge. I want you to program it. Like, get on this thing. You love Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, yeah, I got some ideas for Nintendo games. That's awesome. But then they were like, you had to make 52 Nintendo games and you only have 3 months. Like, that would be a night. That's a real monkey's paw version of this wish, yeah. You know?
Well, again, going back to the UHF thing, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It'd be a lot like that.
Huh. Yeah. So, it just, man, oh, man. And so, it's hard for me, and I try not to, you know, throw shade at the people who make things too much. But, like, do you remember the PRGE? It was the year of the Cheetahmen 2 Kickstarter, yes. Right?
Yes.
And the guy, the Cheetahmen guy, was walking around the show floor in, like, his full Cheetahmen garb.
Yeah, and you could buy T-shirts and the like.
It's really hard for me not to project that guy's whole steez onto this thing.
Yeah, well, he isn't the main guy.
No.
It's not Vince Perry or whatever. Was that who the guy was? I don't think it was him.
No, it's, it's like Gil something.
Yeah, like, it's weird. Like, it wasn't the main guy. You can actually go to, the relaunch was Cheetahmen the Creation. You can get there's the ultimate Cheetahmen package where you get like a version, you get the factory sealed version, you get the prototype and a t-shirt and a poster and CDs and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really nuts. It's $500 to get that. So it's like they haven't learned anything.
No, they haven't. Well, Carrie, we're talking about economies of scale here. It's nonlinear value propositions.
I found the saddest webpage on the net right here. Can I send you the saddest webpage on the net?
Yes, you can, please.
Click that. Don't read it before you click it. Just click it and go to the page.
All right, let's see here. I've got to get it. All right, so... Apparently, they were pinning the hopes of the Cheetahmen revival on the Ouya. Coming soon, the greatest NES game of all time is coming to the greatest, newest platforming, Ouya. The beautiful, affordable console built on the Android platform and made famous through its incredible Kickstarter success. Imagine playing Cheetahmen in HD on a 60-inch flat screen. Yeah, we thought so. Again,
that's
depressing.
Yeah,
we thought so. Is in red.
Yeah, that is depressing.
Holy shit.
That's very depressing to me. Like, have you ever touched a Ouya?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Yes.
Oh, God.
At a PAX.
Tell me your Ouya story, please.
Ouya Tales. There was a fighting game event thing we went to, and it was brought to you by Mad Catz. So they had a bunch of, like, peripherals, but then they also had a bunch of Ouya games for demo. And they were, all of them were singularly the worst. Like, none of them were playable or fun. And they were just abandoned. Like, this was this, like, free, like, you know, industry thing event with free booze and food. And just empty couches. Because they, like, it's a couch emptier.
With
like, putting
free
an
booths.
Ouya in front of a couch is a way to shoo people away from your couch.
Just if you're worried about structural integrity or you need to, like, fumigate it for nits.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Nobody was playing it, and that was literally all there was to do to wait for the tournament or whatever.
Huh. Yeah, it's funny. Like, I was misguidedly, you know, just kind of diplomatic when we were talking about the Ouya thing on the most recent episode of The Level. And I was like, you know, if you believed in this thing, whatever, you're out $99. Like, if you thought Ouya was going to be the next coming of, like, open gaming, Linux on the desktop, like, power to the people horseshit, like, your mindset's 8 kinds of fucked. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But, like...
it's not going to work.
Nope.
For you, like, it's not like, I mean, I feel bad for the people, if that's the idea. Like, I do feel bad for people who invest their fortune in Ouya. There's recently a news story about it because tons of developers like were promised a lot of money from Ouya and got dicked over.
That's what we were talking about, was the idea that, like, and, you know, fortunately Razer's coming in and saying, yeah, you know what, when we bought this, we didn't really take that into consideration. We'll give you the money that you're planning on because, like, you were planning your development around getting this, and it's better for us to have more games for this than not.
Yeah.
So that's good for the developers, but like having followed the threads and Something Awful and stuff like that, just the amount of like this became this really weird like libertarian cause almost. That's what I'm laughing at.
Yeah. I'm very wary whenever anyone talks about something that's like open source.
Yeah.
Anything. It's like, yes, I get it. Like there's that Kickstarter for that there's that robot, that personal robot buddy. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's open source. Which means that people are going to do terrible things with him.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah. Like, this is a good way to get your robot fucked. Like, release it with an open source based.
Yeah.
Like, software.
Yeah. I hear open source. All I can think of is some Chechen teen is going to turn this into a zombie net to distribute child porn. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, you're just going to have this little porn bot scooting around your house, digitizing child peen left and right. Like, that's it. That is what's going to happen.
Terrible.
Let's answer some questions. We
never talked about the Cheetah Men game.
It's so like it's in that creamy middle of like shitty but not special.
Shitty but functional up until the third level.
Yeah. And then it just gets too hard because Hercules is the worst. He has no hit points. Like I could take so few hit points with Hercules. Mm-hmm. The one thing I like about Cheetah Men is the sound effect for when you hit guys. Uh-huh. It's really bassy. Like it's a very satisfying like sound.
I mean, again, from the history angle, that's another weird thing about this game. If there's music in this you like, they probably sampled it and ripped it off from something else.
From a music creation software.
Yes.
Yeah, they use like the demo things from music creation software. Like the main guy whose name was Mario, who was brought in to bring this on and put together the team, ended up getting fired because he was spending too much time with his girlfriend. Who Bubblegum Rosie is about.
How dare he?
And he was the one who did the level design and music. So then after he left, because people were working fucking like 13, 14 hour days on this shit.
Jesus, that's so sad.
It is so sad. Like this is one of the saddest like abject suffering episodes that we've done.
It's terrible because like I always kind of have it in the back of my head, like a lot of people worked very hard on these games we talk about.
Yeah.
Right? Like maybe not hard enough, or there were factors outside of their control, but like this game, because of its notoriety, kind of like E.T., there are faces behind this. Faces I've seen personally.
Yeah.
who I'm sitting here just kind of like taking pot shots at, and like, you know, we got to do it because the show must go on, but damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on that depressing note.
Yeah. What questions we have? What's not depressing?
So Colin Peacock writes in via the comments here saying, I've been listening since episode one. Thank you so much, Colin. And I'm wondering, now that you're 100 episodes into this project, are you any closer to figuring out why we've done this to you?
That's for you to answer, not us.
Yeah, like every one of you.
It's not a rhetorical question.
This little curl of hatred in your heart, right? Like we've been waiting. Nobody's reached out on the comment forum and said, like, hey, you know what? It's my bad. Like I was totally having a bad day at work that day.
Or just like why we did it. Like it doesn't have to be an apology. It could just be like, yeah, you deserve it, fatty. Like, like also accept that. Like, I did it because you masturbate too much when you were young, fucko. Like,
I hate the sound of your voice and the look of your face.
Yeah, yeah. It's because you kept jerking off into swimming pools when you were 12, and you didn't think anybody knew, but I knew.
Yeah.
And therefore,
yeah, I called it making coal clouds.
Yeah, exactly.
Gross. I'm sorry.
Oh boy. That'd be a real nightmare for one of your sperm, because you'd be introduced into a substrate that was similar to what you're used to, except with chlorine. It'd be the equivalent of like one of us being dropped on Jupiter or something.
Yeah, but no, I like, don't think that's the coal space program.
Yeah, like cobalt space program.
Anyway, Riley Ferguson writes, let's see here. This isn't really a question, but my WAF poster arrived in the mail yesterday, and the handwriting from Cole on the packaging is even worse than mine, and that definitely made this shitty work week a little better. Cheers, mates! Thank you, Riley. All I would say is you try writing on a curved poster tube.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. Yeah, that's like one of two posters that's ever been sold.
Yeah, why don't nobody buys those posters? And I think they're really cool.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a bummer. Like my friend worked on it, but I like my friend's work even if he wasn't my friend. Like, that was a cool poster, but
that's great. Like I've got like I had to look for those posters and like dig them out of a closet to pull them out. I've got like 10 left, something like that. Maybe I should drop the price and just like make sure they get out there because at this
point
they're
not doing anybody any good.
Yeah, at this point it's more important that they get on people's walls because I want people to see Noah's awesome work.
Yeah. Agreed.
Let's see here. Alessio Summerfield writes in asking, in the abject suffering Zodiac, what summer comes after the summer of cum? What year comes after the year of the tadpole? Those are my questions.
Well, first summer of cum, then the summer of yum. And then...
Wait a minute, we have to eat year-old cum?
Yum. Yum.
Do I have to keep it on a radiator, Gary?
I got one word for you. Yum.
yum brands. I'm at the Pizza Hut, the Taco Bell, the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like the summer jam. Like I can't tell you what next year's summer jam will be. Actually, the summer jam is always huge basketball shorts. But
yeah. Well, like whether it's gonna like yeah exactly whether it's gonna be thrift shop or Harlem Shake or
yeah
you know. Pumped up here. Kicks or whatever.
Yes. Here's this bass heavy song about a school shooting. It's so weird. Foster the People made this huge comeback with the dance remakes of Pumped Up Kicks. Yeah, I can't tell you. I mean, we have to think of what bodily fluid is more entertaining than cum.
Yeah, that's just really hard.
We didn't intentionally do the Summer of Cum thing. It's just because cum is funny.
No, yeah, it just kept coming up. So the it just whenever trouble bubbles up, the
bubble. Did you have to use bubble as the verb for that?
It was a Lucas with the lid off reference. So I don't know if that, you might have missed that was a summer jam when I was growing up.
No,
yeah, it's a song. Well, we should probably do it for Teenage Dirtbags at some point because the song was important to me.
It's foundational.
It's real.
It was the all along the watchtower of your generation.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed. I'm happy that the summer of cum has taken off.
Yep.
The way it has, but also like, I'm nothing to your point. Like nothing. We don't plan to do anything. Like it just goofs. Just take a mind of their own.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is the way I would rather have it. If we started calculating this shit, it would get sad to me. It would be like,
If
Vizo Media took over Duckfeed and like sat us down in a meeting and we're just like, we're going to need you guys to come up with like 5 new catchphrases. And it would just be like, we don't have a listener base that, why did you buy this? Like, it is not that you've thrown away your money, sir. Like, this is not worth your money.
Man,
or we're not worth your time.
You should not have bet on us. I am so sorry.
Yeah, it is not like we're not. People are not wearing Summer of Cum, like, you know, I mean, they could be wearing the t-shirt.
There is the one t-shirt.
Yeah, there is a single t-shirt out there. And if that guy is your demographic, like specifically the entirety of it.
Yeah. But it's funny because just like stuff just like gathers momentum. Like it comes up on 2 shows and then we decide, okay, this is a trend. So we might as well start joking about it being a thing that we've said more than twice. And then... I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. Like I can't.
It is weird. And then also you remember that anybody who talks to each other frequently has inside jokes.
Yes.
Like it's weirder. It's weird until you realize like that's actually what it is.
Yeah.
It just seems different
because
it's on podcast.
I guess I say it's weird because like it's hard for me to put myself in the shoes of somebody who only listens to one show because I record, you know, 6 of the 8 of them.
Yeah.
You know. So it's really tough to be like, oh, somebody who doesn't who is not in on it with us, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like people who listen to this show, I consider like if somebody listens to this show at least by the numbers, they probably listen to most of the others, so they're in on it.
Yeah, at least with this show. And then as the shows get bigger, there are more people who don't listen to anything else.
Super weird. I don't know. But kind of along with that, Glenn Crispin writes in asking, did you guys think that when you started Abject Suffering that it would take off as well as it did?
Has this taken off?
It's really fun.
Like, hey, I like it a lot.
It's the funnest thing. Like, this is the show that I have the most fun recording.
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Like there is a satisfaction and an enjoyment and a craftsmanship to everything, you know, like to the other shows that we do. But like this is the one that's just kind of like it's us letting our hair down and it's become just Gary and Cole talk about whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's probably one of the more friendship porny episodes in the show, and that's a genre of podcast that I like, but it's become something special and interesting. And like from when we started it, it's actually taken off, right? Like
yeah, it's definitely done better than it was doing. Like yeah. I was joking, like but it, I mean it is, you know, like if I remember without lifting up the kimono too much, like, this is like a distant third most popular show probably.
Yeah,
right?
this show has, I'll just give the number, it has about 1500 listeners.
Okay.
And compared to say something like Bonfire Side Chat at its peak has about like 6,000.
Yeah. So it is a distant third. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't like really taken off the way it is, but it's also the hardest show to sell. Like of course it hasn't.
Yeah.
You know, like how do you sell something like this? Mm-hmm. And then that's when we've talked about it before, we get called out for it, where it's like, you guys didn't talk about, you know, Solar Jetman. And it's like, yeah. Oh, it's not really what we do. Like, it's not, you know, that's not what it is. Yeah. And then I wrote that big blog post because the one guy called us out and was just like, hey, stop doing this. It's stupid. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's not helpful.
No,
that's not very nice. So it is what it is. Like what I would say because taking off is all relative too. Cause like, even if, you know, the biggest podcast in the world, like if I asked my mom if she knew who, Mark Maron or Adam Carolla was, she'd say no. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like even the biggest podcast in the world is not that big. Yeah. But it definitely has found like it's found a voice. Like I feel like this is really consistent. Mm-hmm. Like we'll have off weeks where we're not as consistently funny, I think, but mm-hmm. also like we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, like it's towards a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I don't know. I feel good about the response that this gets, and you know, like something that's awesome about the size that we're at. I mean, obviously, we're always trying to get bigger, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's just always a goal. Like you want to, you're always looking at how can we be 10% bigger than we are today, and when can we reach that? And you know, time has shown that just like, oh, just do it for a while more, and you'll get there.
That's okay. The only. That's why it's not silly, but that's and anyone has ever asked for advice. Like, that's literally the only thing that we can say is just like, nope, you know, mm-hmm. we haven't hit any kind of tipping point with anything.
Yeah.
Like, even the biggest, even our more popular shows, the biggest bumps they've gotten are not tipping points that turn us, you know, into Malcolm Gladwell millionaires. Like, they're all, it is just like, oh, it's a slightly less steady growth and mm-hmm. then settles back into steady growth. But everything is steadily growing.
Yeah.
It's just slow.
But it's satisfying at the very least. And
well, that's the thing, too, is it's like it wouldn't if it wasn't fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, and that ends up being cliche advice, but if someone gives advice, it's just, like, you have to enjoy it enough to where, if you want to do the route that we did, you have to mm-hmm. enjoy it enough to just do it and watch it slowly get bigger for years.
Yeah, enjoy it enough that you will keep on doing it, but also enjoy it enough that people will hear how much you enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, especially this show, more than any of the others, I think the Bonfire Side Chat and Watch Out for Fireballs, like, if you look at, like, how the different episodes kind of, like, waver based on the subject matter, like, those are largely carried on the subject matter themselves. It's us, too, right? But not to as large of an extent as this. Like, for this show, more than any other, except maybe, like, those damn Ross kids or whatever, we're really putting out our personalities like that. And so it's easy to take pride when people respond positively to it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Like there's a really good illustration of that. If you look at the off season Bonfire Side Chats, like we did those episodes on Berserk and stuff. And those are some of my favorite episodes we've done. Cause it was fun to work in a different medium. And like, it's a complicated work of art that I have a lot of things to say about. And like, I feel like we made a lot of good observations, but those episodes did not do as well as the mainline game episodes.
Yeah.
They just, you know, people were coming from the subject matter and less people were interested in the comic than in the game, you know, and few people were coming to us for what we were bringing to the fewer people were coming strictly for what we were bringing to the table, even though I think that was some, you know, was strong work.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what's funny about it, man, like what's funny about it is that like people respond to those Berserk episodes really heavily, right? Like that is stuff that comes up.
Yeah. When people listen to them. You know, like they dig them, you know, it's just, it's not about necessarily about Dark Souls. And like Dark Souls is a community. And this is the year where like this really got cemented for me. As much as I like it and I like a lot of the people in it, like it is kind of a weird singular thing.
Yeah.
you know, it's become one of those like the Earthbound community or like the Fallout fan community where it does have some kind of like gross aspects to it a little bit.
Yep.
And it also is a it is a very singular fan community. It doesn't feel like fan communities for anything else.
Yeah.
You know, and when I look at the text that's in iTunes reviews and stuff, a lot of times the people who really respond well to Bonfireside Chat, like, are just in that first flush of like, I want anything that has to do with Dark Souls. Like, you literally cannot give me enough. It doesn't necessarily have to do with what we're doing. I mean, it does to an extent, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of the work that we do, but it also is just like, that's some Dark Souls fans, you know, are just that intent.
Yeah.
And which is a good thing. Like, that's not a bad thing. That's not one of the things I think is, you know, a downside of the fan community.
Yeah.
In Dark Souls. But I think it is becoming, like, it really is, like, it's going to be up there with, like, the Earthbound fan community and Final Fantasy fans and stuff.
Yeah. Especially as Dark Souls, you know, specifically Dark Souls, not so much Demon Souls, but the first one gets out in the mist, right?
Yeah.
And as people perceive more kind of disappointment with the current state of things, there's going to be an old guard that, you know, crops up. And that is poison to any community, I think.
Yeah. You don't want a cool kids club.
No,
like that's my, you know, I've said it before. That's my least favorite thing in the world is like a cool kids club.
I saw an amazing tweet roughly around the time of the Vati controversy where somebody was talking about the Upper Souls community.
Yeah, I saw that. Like that's really unfortunate. Like you got to grow up. Like, you can't say things like that.
Nope.
Like
they're called the choir dog.
Yeah, like that's so bad. That's so bad. Like, it's just like, I don't like, it's really frustrating too, because as much as like, I like what we do in relation to the Souls games and stuff,
yeah,
but I wouldn't want to be like part of that either. You know, like I wouldn't want to be like, it'd be weird to be called that or to like, cause I don't want to be exclusive.
No.
About stuff like that's gross. Yep. And there's no upside to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the weird, whatever internet, like pride bucks you get for being in the Upper Souls community is not worth it.
Well, it's funny because like he was referring specifically to Vati and ENB, like two people that I like.
Yeah, well, no, totally. Like it doesn't reflect on the people within that community.
Yeah,
but they wouldn't call themselves that.
No,
like I would be amazed to hear one of them say something like that. Like during that Vati thing, the guy who did the video, the Big Damning video, brought up like a bunch of old comments that he did where he was kind of a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, hence apologized for that shit, and like, you know, he's a young guy. Like,
yeah,
it is okay. You know, that's. With this year of internet controversy is like with that. And then, I mean, that's way smaller than Gamergate. But one of the things I think about in relation to both is that like, if there's not room to get better, then there's no point to any of this.
Yep.
Like if you can't forgive and allow for space for people to get better about this shit, then any kind of like, you know, in Gamergate's case, like social justice, but in the, you know, Vatigate section, you know, that specific criticism or this kind of fandom, there's no point.
Yep.
You know, like it's worth abandoning if you can't allow for people to get better.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want then? Like, what is the idea? If you don't want that person to change their behavior and be better, like, are you just, you know, is it vengeance? Like you're after, like, I'm going to destroy him on the internet.
It's justice, right? Like somebody's wrong. So you got to.
Yeah. And that's you know, really
Gary, I am Batman. I am the Knight. Rorschach was the hero of the Watchmen.
Yeah. Like, because it's like, you know, pursuing justice, like calling somebody out for being a shithead and not supporting them is one thing. But like, if they're just like, yeah, I was a shithead. This is how, you know,
it's like I'm different cool. now. Yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I'm not demanding contrition of you. Like, I don't want you to like crawl up to me, but if you just say like, hey, you know, my perspective has shifted, whatever. Like, you got to give people some grace. Like,
yeah.
That is literally all that we have, because if you don't have grace, then just all that waits for you on the other side is oblivion.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's really fucked up. And it's when you're talking about Rorschach being the hero of the Watchmen, like I feel it is an attitude that I feel like is informed by fiction. Like I started watching the Game of Thrones TV show. I played that board game at Game Retreat I talked about, and I was like,
yep.
these names sound evocative. I'm going to watch this shit. And like, it's a real time suck. I'm enjoying it, but like, it's not perfect by any means. But the kind of like the high drama that's in that is what I think these people think they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when somebody is like, I'm going to take down House Vati and I'm going to do it by, you know, showing this proof before the other lords of the High Souls community. Like, I just have the sense of them aggrandizing themselves in this high drama fashion this like Shakespearean thing, when in fact, like, we're all kids and adults on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that it's just like we're just fucking around on the internet talking about video games. Like, it's mm-hmm. not, the stakes aren't high enough to justify that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it makes you sound like an asshole when you do it. Again, I'm not specifically calling out that video guy because I have room for grace for him.
Yeah.
And also, he was not super personally attacky, but I did think it was a low move when he was like, here's some shithead things that he said in a video like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that he's hence apologized for. Like, that's not evidence. You know, like, that's forgiven as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
But anyway, Epic Suffering, we're really happy with the place that it's at. And like, yeah. for, you know, for as goofy as it is and kind of like as, you know, I don't know, like self-centered maybe as as us taking a game that maybe you want to hear about and turning it into our own personal story hour about people we saw riding bikes today.
It's like, a real vanity project.
Yeah. But like it's become a thing. And, you know, I'm happy that there are people who appreciate it. And like all of our fans who consistently respond and listen to it. Both, I appreciate them, and I'm happy to see that it's growing because again, I personally identify with this probably more than even the shows that I lead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's very fun.
Yep. John Colbert writes in, CJ's recipe is just coffee.
Yeah.
CJ is a fan of coffee, that guy right there. I'm doing an elbow bumpy thing. Yeah. So both of those Estes things, they're both fruity pleasers. I do not like sugary drinks because they get me drunk faster and they give me hangovers. So I may not do those again, but, I'm happy I did them anyway. I was talking
have room
with
in your life for more fruity pleasers.
What's that?
You're going to have room in your life for more fruity pleasers.
No, it's way too much sugar, man. Makes us sick. I was talking with Nick in the Slack, and I was talking about making the Estes flask, and he's like, oh, just do vodka and Sunny D. And I was like, oh, that's a schoolyard screwdriver. He's like, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
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 John Colbert writes in saying, I spent 4 minutes contemplating a YouTube video of a wall-eyed anthropomorphic cheetah in a scoop neck t-shirt. So I guess my question is, why have you done this to me?
Good question.
I mean, it was, like, you made the choice, man. We may have given you the ammo, but you pulled the trigger.
Okay? Yeah, guns don't kill people. Podcasts don't kill people. Podcasters do.
Let's see. Sam Bear. Hey, Sam. Writes in saying, who would win in a fight, Francis the Talking Mule or Mr. Ed? Keep in mind that Mr. Ed is significantly younger, but Francis is a decorated war hero.
Yeah. Where does the... Can one of them tag team in the Flying Nun?
Like, only if the other can tag team in My Mom the Car.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Francis the Mule. I don't know very much about Francis the Mule.
I did some light Google work at work today because I don't care anymore. So Francis the Talking Mule was created by a veteran of, I believe, the First World War. He is one of the first commanders of the deployed mule infantry, and he talks. And there were what appears to be 9 Francis the Mule episodes where he is, or not episodes, movies rather, from 1950 to 1956. They intended to do a final one called Francis Goes to Washington. But they postponed it because of too many complications.
Cool.
Yep.
Later appearances. Francis also made a brief cameo in animated form and voiced by Marvin Miller in the UPA cartoon short, How Now, Boing Boing, starring Gerald McBoing Boing.
Okay, so even crazier than that. Francis's original voice actor. So I only know this from looking at the title Francis in the Haunted House, which has to be like earnest, scared, stupid levels of great horror comedy. Mm-hmm. But Francis's voice actor was a man by the name of Chill Wills.
Oh, that's good.
I know, right?
I think Francis might win just out of breadth of experience.
Yes, I think that, like, Francis is a little bit more worldly. I don't think that Mr. Ed has been allowed very much opportunity to grow as a horse.
Allowed is the key word there, because I was just thinking about, like, Mr. Ed is sentient. Is he free? I don't think so. Like, he's a slave in that TV show.
No, he's subjugated. One can only assume that Francis is
a subspecies. Let's sing some subs.
I'm just imagining, like, luring Mr. Ed over top of, like, some kind of, like, punji pit.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, no, there's shit on these spikes.
Oh, that's gangrenous. Yeah. Hey, let's sing some subs will be our new sign-off, because it's so annoying that we lose subscribers every time we use it.
So. Oh, that's pretty good. So, Chill Theodore Wills.
I like
people had better names back then. If you look at this guy, his Wikipedia portrait, like, he's given some real "I'm gonna fuck you" ass.
Yeah. He's pretty intense.
Yeah. So I'm gonna have to give Francis the edge. Not just because I'm embarrassed because I didn't know about Francis. That seems like something I would know about. So thanks for scooping me, Sam. But also because he has the full trust and authority of the U.S. military behind him.
I appreciate that as well.
Yes. Let us see here. John Colbert writes in, is it possible that the Cheetah Men are responsible for the fashionable status of scoop neck t-shirts? Vati, this inquiry is directed at you. And so I will add Vati to the call. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. Hello.
I can't say. I think that people being proud of their chests is probably the thing that that ushered that in, that movement. Yeah. But can't say.
Yeah, I'm not. So I didn't wear them.
No, like, what you're seeing is what I wear every day.
Yeah, I don't need anyone seeing anything below my neck.
No. Yeah. So that's all the questions we had.
Yeah, this is the longest episode of Abject Suffering ever.
Yeah.
By a lot. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, and this is the most viewers we've had at a single time, so that's good too. Thank you, everybody who has watched live. We do these every month or so, and these are out for our $5 and up Patreon backers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to watch live, you can also listen to them later.
Yep.
But you'd rather watch them, even though I apologize for not having my face on here, just because of technical difficulties. It'd just be me sweating. Like, we're in the middle of another heat wave here, so it would be me just sweat pouring down my face. Don't need to see that. I think that's, you know, if you like Abject Suffering, thank you for helping us get to 100. You've done enough. there's no homework for this week.
No. We super appreciate it, and there are people who are writing in nice things that, again, I will not read because they are meant for off the air. Whoops. But we really appreciate it. And boy, oh boy, does this mean a lot, because I'm not joking when I say that this is one of my favorite things that we do.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Cool.
And then do we announce what we're doing next on this show?
We do, but I don't have the screen up. It'll take like
It'll be a surprise to anybody.
Yeah, so let's make it a surprise.
Yep. So tune in next week for a surprise.
Yes. And until next time, let's sink some subs.
Let's sink some subs. Let's get busy.